The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a privileged position to have 6.7 billion in a war chest that you're able to deploy. But the question I have to begin by asking you is, why wait until late September, September 27th, before the public see the benefit of this when people are hurting now and you have an opportunity to do something about it?
Well, I suppose another question to ask, which we might get onto a little bit later, is why do we have the 6.7 billion? And that is down to the strength of our economy with record employment levels and incomes rising, notwithstanding inflation and record levels of trade and tax receipts coming in from company profits. And that's a better position than almost any other developed country is in. And it didn't happen by accident. And certainly as Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment would welcome a conversation as to why we're able to do what we're going to be able to do.
I did say it was a privileged position. We will get to that. And I know there's a lot of other things you're doing to support businesses, which I promise I will get to. But the point is...
But you know, John, sometimes privilege is bestowed, but this is earned. And as a country, we worked very hard to be in the position we're in. But to answer your question, obviously acknowledge that people are facing a cost of living inflation crisis. Everyone is feeling the squeeze, and some people are facing some very difficult decisions about what money, what they can afford to spend money on. But the government's response has been dynamic. You know, it's not that we're just waiting until September. In January, we had $1 billion in budget measures that took effect, a minimum wage increase, pension increases, welfare increases, income tax reductions. Since then, we've done about $1.5 billion more. So there's been the excise cut to petrol and diesel, VAT on electricity and gas cut to 9%, the lowest ever. The reduction in public transport fares, the €200 off your electricity bill, a very targeted measure for those worst off involving the fuel allowance. And over the summer before the budget, you'll see other things kick in as well. There's the increase in the back-to-school clothing and footwear allowance, which was funded in the budget. The SUSE grants for people attending college, the improvements to them, they kick in over the summer as well. And then come September, we'll have a budget and we'll be able to do some measures immediately that will help people in their pockets across autumn. And then a whole set of other regular annual tax and welfare changes that will take place in January. So this is a dynamic situation. It is unfolding. Government is responding. We're going to continue to respond over the summer. And in the budget, we'll set out how we'll respond in the autumn and indeed in the early part of 2023.
The challenge, of course, is that you can't afford to chase inflation, because if you do, you fall into the same trap that we did in the 70s. And if you look at the figures, in 1975, there was an oil crisis. In 1981, there was an oil crisis. We had inflation that was double what it is now. But again, we can't say with certainty that it's not going to be double next year, depending on circumstances that are outside yours, mine and everyone else's control in this country. Is the real reason you're not announcing the budget until September 27th is that you don't want to have to make an announcement now that you have to revisit then?
Well, unfortunately, whether we have the budget in September or earlier or later, that is always a risk. And, you know, one thing we have to bear in mind is that we don't want to get into an inflationary spiral, you know, essentially where, as a government, we pump money into the economy, pour fuel on the fire and potentially make the situation worse. But I don't think we're in that position at the moment. And Minister Dunne and I have talked about this a lot over the past couple of weeks. Every inflation crisis is different. This one is characterized particularly by high fuel prices. So that's actually billions of euros leaving the country. You know, all that extra money you're paying for petrol or diesel or gas or electricity, that's largely billions that are being sucked out of our economy and going to places that produce petrol and diesel and gas, which isn't Ireland. And we're also heading into a period where we're going to see interest rates rise. And when interest rates rise, people save more and they borrow less for obvious reasons. So that's going to see money being taken out of the economy too. And for that reason, we think it is safe to inject the money that we have, that we do have, the 6.5 billion euros into the economy to help people with the cost of living, which is the most important thing, but also perhaps to protect us from what is going to be a slowdown in the world economy and to make sure that once again, Ireland doesn't get pulled into recession, even though many of our trading partners probably will be there.
So does that make it okay then to breach your own spending rule of 5% and to use high corporation tax receipts that mightn't be there next year? We're doing it now. It's a once-off. We can trust ourselves that we won't have to do this again. Is that not leaving us a little exposed?
Well, I think when, you know, the situation changes and when facts change, you have to respond to them. And when we agreed to set the 5% spending rule, that was on the basis of low or almost no inflation. If we stuck to that, we would only be able to increase spending by 5%. And what people would see is the value of their pensions, the value of welfare payments, the money that's going to schools in terms of capitation, the money that's going to pay people working in the health service actually diminish in real terms. So, you know, we have to respond to what is a dynamic situation, just as we responded to the pandemic when it arrived, just as we responded to Brexit before that. And that's what governments have to do. But you're right to highlight the risk that does exist. You know, pretty much one in four of our tax take now comes from profits on large companies. It's absolute proof positive, by the way, that low taxes sometimes bring in more revenues. If you divide the amount of money that we get in corporation tax by the number of people in the country, we take in about double what the average European country does. So, you know, this idea that high taxes means more revenue and low taxes means less revenue, that's certainly not always true. And this is a perfect example of where low taxes are a good thing and result in higher revenues because they stimulate investment and employment. But I definitely think that something we will have to consider is setting aside some of that money. You know, if we have a very substantial surplus this year, it's 4 billion this year so far, we don't know where it's going to land. Yes, we should give some of that back to people to help with the cost of living, and we should put some of it away as well. I think that would be...
How much should we put away, do you think?
Let's see how much we have. I will have a better idea of that in September. We would have a better idea, of course, if we'd wait until the end of the year, but we decided not to do that for obvious reasons. And it would make sense to put some aside. But that's only if we have a surplus. I don't think it makes sense to, you know, put money away in a rainy day fund or whatever fund you want if you're actually borrowing money at the same time. That's not logical to me. But if we are in a surplus, I think it does make sense to put some of that aside. And that's not something we haven't done before. We did that under the last two governments. We had a rainy day fund. We put aside some billions. And when the pandemic came, that helped us to pay for helped us to pay for the pandemic unemployment payment. And you know, rightly so.
It just strikes me, Leo Varadkar, your first response to me, it feels like you believe that your government isn't getting fair credit for the work that it has done. The opposition have criticised you for not having an emergency budget in place. You have got a lot of issues on your plate and the plate of your fellow ministers. Do you honestly believe this government is not getting the credit it deserves?
I'm in politics long enough to know it doesn't work like that. What people want is for you to deal with the problems that they face now, and you know, problems that maybe would have been faced 10 years ago, whether it was immigration or mass unemployment or falling living standards. Those things are long forgotten. So my concern is not a political one about the government or the party. The concern that I do have, and it's in the back of my mind all the time, is that the people across from me on the opposition parties take the economy for granted. And when I go in there, and I'll go in there today and take questions, it'll be all about how do we divide up the cake? You know, how can we cut it up quicker? How can we divide it up more fairly? Never, ever hear them talk about how you bake the cake, how you create wealth, how you create jobs, how you support business. And that's a bigger worry I have, actually. It is not so much that the government isn't getting credit or Fine Gael isn't getting credit. You know, that's just a fact of life. And obviously people are annoyed about other problems, particularly housing, for example, and I absolutely get that. My more concern is that a lot of people in politics, particularly on those opposition benches, seem to think that our economic strength is just there for granted and their only job is to spend the money, not to do anything to stimulate job creation or wealth creation. And that really bothers me, because I think if they get in, the cake will get smaller and everyone will be worse off.
Well, as I said, sticking with the cake scenario, the problem is that they'll just take your cake and spend the money that your government has put together. Okay, they might be in a different situation in 5 years' time, but isn't that up for them and up for the voters to decide?
Well, absolutely up to the voters to decide that. That's exactly what they will do, you're right, in year one and year two. And by year three, when they realise the cake is shrinking and there's less for everyone, it might be too late. And, you know, our prosperity is hard-earned and isn't all down to the government, by the way. It's down to
Irish workers, the people.
But if the government doesn't have the right environment, you know, whether it's being at the heart of the European Union, whether it's being open to trade and voting for trade deals, whether it's being positive towards foreign direct investment and looking after the goose that lays the golden egg, if there was a fundamental change in economic policy, I've no doubt that the cake would be smaller within a few years.
But the argument, I want to move on to the loan scheme in just a minute, but the argument that Sinn Féin would put forward will be, let's give me a chance, give us a chance to do it. We think we can spread that a little bit further than it has gone. They say they can make an impact in housing. They say they can make an impact in the health service. Why wouldn't voters trust them, considering they look at your party's record for the last 11 years in government?
Because I think if you look at their policies, they would make things worse, and there'd be less money for housing and less money for healthcare. The economic strength that we have at the moment derives from trade. They're against a trade deal with Canada. You know, of all countries in the world, surely we can do a trade deal with Canada. They want to vote that down. When it comes to the multinational investment, for example, they want those executives who come to Ireland and invest in Ireland, they want them to pay higher taxes. They want to cap their pensions. This just isn't clever. You know, that's how we lose these investments to Amsterdam and Tel Aviv and all the rest of it. So, you know, if they had the policies that made sense, that would be one thing, but they don't. So, you know, change for the sake of change can be bad change.
I'm sure that's a conversation that will be had many times between now and the next election in 2.5 years or whenever it is. The government has launched this low-cost COVID loan scheme to help businesses, up to €1.5 million available, and SMEs, including farmers and fishermen and food businesses, can apply for this. Is that not the job of the banks? Why is the government choosing to do it this way?
Yeah, so it is done through the banks with the help of our SBCI, the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland. Essentially, what we're doing is we're helping business. We understand that a lot of businesses are still recovering from COVID, particularly in the experience economy, the entertainment, the hospitality sector, food exporters. And by partially guaranteeing these loans, by having a government-backed loan, we can ensure that more businesses, more farmers, more fishermen have access to credit. They can get at a lower interest rate than they otherwise would, and they can pay it back over a longer time period than they otherwise would if we just left it to the banks and the private sector. So what that means is they can get access to credit. It can be used to refinance, at least partially refinance, existing loans. It can be used for working capital. It can be used for investment and expansion. And it's worked very well. It's replacing a pre-existing loan scheme, which helped 10,000 businesses during the worst of the pandemic. We have similar schemes for Brexit, and I'm working on one with my officials now to help businesses that have been particularly hit by the current crisis, which is Ukraine. But in business terms, it's really hit those high energy users, and we want to help them out too. So again, it's about helping businesses survive, grow, prosper, create jobs, and that in turn, of course, creates the revenues that we need to do all the other things.
A final question, Leo Varadkar. The idea of the metro, from when I started following you on the campaign trail, this has been mooted. It still isn't built. There isn't even a single bit of track down. The government is now proceeding with it. There's a price tag of something like €9.5 billion that has been added to it right now. You have to admit that €9.5 billion has to be exploratory to begin with, because it'll most likely cost an awful lot more. Is the government genuinely committed to the metro?
Yes, I think it's a great project, by the way, and it's long overdue, and I think it can help to transform public transport in the streets of Dublin, and also help out with air quality and climate action as well. The milestone we agreed yesterday is that we're doing something that's never been done before. I know the metro has been talked about for decades now, but we're going in this year with the planning application, the railway order to Embore Planala. And once that's done, then we can go to tender and we can get construction underway. But it is going to be an expensive project, and it is going to take time. Realistically, construction won't begin until 2025. And as you say, the estimated cost is just under €10 billion. But that's a cost that's estimated before we have planning permission and before we've done any tendering. So, you're right to say that that could go up. But, you know, sometimes the cost of things go down as well. We now know the National Broadband Plan will cost less than the $3 billion budgeted. So,
yeah, but really, let's be realistic, Leo Varadkar. The cost is far more likely to go up than go down because of the scale and size of this infrastructural project. You look what happened with Crossrail in London and the cost that spiraled there. We were talking earlier on about rainy day funds and making sure that there was money available for projects that were needed. The likelihood is that this is the first thing that's going to be shelved.
Well, I hope not. You know, I was the Minister of Transport back in 2011 when we had to shelve transport projects, and this is one of the ones that had to be suspended, a decision nobody wanted to make but had to be made. We're now in a position where we can afford to invest big in infrastructure again, not just in Dublin, all around the country. And the way the estimate works is the cost is about $6 billion, and then we're factoring in $3 billion for inflation and another $3 billion for risks. So that's, you know, that's the... Sorry, that's not exactly right. But we're factoring one point five for inflation and 1.5 for risk. So that's okay. How you get to the 9. But it is, like, it is an estimate. I'm not going to mislead you on that.
Eamon Ryan is the man bringing this forward. You are Taoiseach now, Taoiseach again in December. More than likely, you'll be long gone off the political stage by the time the trains are actually running, as the same as most of the cabinet who are there now. So it's easy to say it now. It's going to be some other politician's problem in the future.
Well, I'd hope to be still a resident of Dublin at the time and having an opportunity to use this because I think it will make a huge difference, you know, not just for people who live along the route, but, you know, even people in my own constituency, for example, being able to get on the train in Clonsilla or Castleknock or Navan Road or further afield in Leixlip and Maynooth, being able to interchange at Glasnevin and take the metro up to DCU or up to the airport. You know, it is going to be a real benefit for the greater Dublin area. And, you know, Irish people are well-travelled. We all travel around the world. We know that cities of a similar scale have metros. Yeah. Built them a long time ago, and I think
so. You've allowed the $3 billion. I know we're throwing money around like snuff at a wake here, but how much would and should a government be willing to go on top of that estimate for this project to succeed? Do you think?
Well, if in the business case, all the different estimates are set out. So, you know, that $9.5 billion is a particular figure. There is an extreme case scenario in the documents where it could cost up to $23 billion. Nobody thinks that's going to happen, by the way. But that's, you know, that's the kind of extreme end of things.
Would that be worth it?
Confident. It depends on how long it takes to build, I suppose, of course. But like I say, that I do not think is the kind of cost that will materialise.
Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. Thanks very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.